accidental podcast this side of the galaxy.
What is up, Clone Army? And welcome back to the best accidental Star Wars podcast this side of the galaxy. We're just simple elves with reindeer making our way through the galaxy, like Santa before us.
Jingle bells.
And something we always forget to do at the beginning, we never introduce ourselves. So, I'm John.
I'm Charlie.
Hello.
We are back for our last episode of the year, which sounds strange to say.
Our last episode ever. Yeah, our last episode ever in 2023.
Yeah. Dude, no, just last episode ever, period. That's it.
Fine. We quit.
No, now would not be the time to announce my departure. That would not be cool.
We'll save that for the first episode of 2023. Mm-hmm.
Save that for the New Year episode. Hi. Bye. No.
Ooh, and then we could play that clip that we were just talking about before we started the episode.
Yeah.
So anyways, welcome back to another episode of the Clone Army Radio, everybody. And we're a couple days behind from our newly scheduled schedule, but we're here and we're doing it. It's all Charlie's fault.
It is. It wouldn't be a new schedule without me absolutely blowing it up the wall. Days in, really. Caught a nasty cold. Couldn't speak, couldn't breathe. One of those.
So selfish, I swear.
So selfish. And I really, truly, honestly, I love all of you so much. I couldn't bear to do a podcast where I was feeling miserable.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think...
Because that is just not festive.
I think I took a week when I had COVID last year, so... It was like we were doing the Andor stuff at the time when I had COVID. It was like right after my wedding.
Oh my God, we were.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it took maybe a week or two at the, I don't even remember now because I was dying. So yeah, I get it. I mean, the last thing you want to do is talk, you know, sit behind a microphone and talk when all you're really thinking about is how much you hate life because you feel like absolute. So anyways. This week, we've got some news. We've got some debunking of our own news. We've got, because we're not sissies. We'll call ourselves out. And then we have a topic.
It's a lightly festive, themed for the Christmas season, because I don't know about you, but I do continuously associate Star Wars with Christmas, even though Star Wars is not technically classed as a Christmas film.
Right. That's true. And I do you think, before we even get to the topic, do you think that that's because like the newer movies that since Disney took over have been coming out at Christmas time? Even like the Book of Boba Fett, Mando was on, I think, right around Christmas, the first season or two. Wonder if that's why. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. We could get into all that, I guess, at another point. But like, I always get Christmas Star Wars gifts on Christmas, so I guess I can see why we would relate it to that. So yeah, our main thing we're going to talk about is, there a specific Star Wars movie that you link to or relate to Christmas more than others?
I think that our answers might surprise you guys.
I think so too.
Just maybe.
Oh, and then should I spoil the last thing we're going to do?
Oh, go on.
All right. So the last thing we're going to talk about, which is hilarious, is a little game we're going to play, I guess-ish kind of a game. You have to cast Danny DeVito in Star Wars.
You do, indeed.
What will his role be?
I would like to give a shout out to my wonderful girlfriend who sent me this. It was a Twitter meme, and she sent it to me and said, "You need to do this on the show next week." And I said, "Sir, yes, sir, I absolutely will."
I love it. I mean, as soon as you sent that to me, I'm like, hell yeah, we got to do it. Danny DeVito in Star Wars would just be...
Why has it not happened yet?
Right? For real.
Maybe they're waiting for the perfect character.
I have the perfect character.
Yeah, I also have the perfect character. We'll fight it out.
Yes. Ooh, we could vote. So, Charlie, I guess, why don't we... do your favorite part, the news. Do you want? Are you ready?
Yay!
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. Let's go. I am ready. So,
come closer. I have good news.
This is, as you know, I take my news and my journalism very, very seriously. I am here to eat my words, because last week I very enthusiastically announced, very enthusiastically, that there had been a date set for filming to start for the new Rey film. And as always, with all Star Wars news ever, that is incorrect. Almost immediately, the wonderfully reputable and fantastic Star Wars Newsnet popped up on Twitter and said the rumour that production on the Daisy Ridley-led Star Wars film is set to begin in April 2024 is incorrect, according to their sources. The script is not even ready yet, and due to the delays caused by the strike, they don't expect filming to start before the summer.
Right.
So I hold my hands up. I got it wrong.
I just think it's funny that, like, it came out like right after we recorded that it was.
Oh, did it now? Great.
Yeah. I'm like, geez, oh man. Star Wars news is always changing. And, you know, what do you do? So I had read online that, if I can find it, there is a website that a lot of people take as like gospel, productionlist.com is where this information came from. And then it's spread like wildfires across, you know, social media, as it always does. But I went over to that website, and maybe it's different now because this was last week when I looked at it, but it was still showing the writers listed as Justin Britt Gibson and Damon Lindelof, and they've been gone a while. So
I was going to say, methinks that might be a little outdated.
Yeah, like they no mention of Stephen Knight, who is the new writer, I believe. So
he is, yes.
So yeah, I guess whatever. I would assume by summer they'll be filming, maybe sooner, but we'll see. I think the script has to be done. You know, that's the thing, is when the strike was going on, it's not like they're not writing. They're just not telling anybody about it or talking to anybody about it, you know, openly at
least.
That's
a very, very good point.
So I'm sure it's got to be done, and now they're probably just doing the refining. And whatever, if it takes a little bit longer, that's better. This needs to be a good film, so...
I am not mad at any time they need to take, as much as I'm impatient. And I know I've gone on about how impatient I am for this, but I will wait for them to get it right. And I think especially with the strikes ending, there's a lot of kind of enthusiasm from the fandom being like, well, come on, let's go. Right. And it really doesn't work like that. I think the strikes have had a really, really big impact on the studios and how they function, maybe more so than we've been allowed to know as kind of outsiders. But I will be intrigued to see kind of how much of this rumor and discussion rings true in the future coming into the new year.
I know, watch now, April 7th will roll around and boom, the Rey movie is filming.
Yep.
And then we'll just take
and I'll have to do all of this and all over again.
Foot in mouth.
Yep.
But it is what it is, you know. We tell it like we find it and then it changes. Kind of like season 4 of Mando.
Don't.
Is it a movie? Is it a series? Is it, what the heck is it?
It's back and forth.
Yeah, that was the other one.
This has been, normally I don't get annoyed that much by Star, that's a lie, I do get annoyed by Star Wars fans on the internet. Specifically this, though, seems to really, really annoy me and get under my skin. The amount of infographics I saw that were like, Mandalorian season 4 is going to be a movie. No, it isn't. And then it was, no, it's not going to be a movie. It's going to be a TV series. And then it was, oh, it's probably going to get cancelled or completely rewritten. I get it. We're speculating. We are grasping at straws at the moment for an iota, a crumb of the news. Don't make it up. Don't do this. Don't do all this clickbaity nonsense, because I do not have the energy when people come into my DMs and go, is this real? No. I love you all to pieces. Engage your brain. Please. Give me a legitimate reason. I can't find in any of the comments on these posts a legitimate reason why they would turn an incredibly popular TV series into a movie.
It doesn't make any sense, because it would cost more money to do it, first of all. So, you know, we all know where Bob Iger is with all of that. And then why? Like, why? They made this big fuss about the Rey movie, the Filoni film, and the the Indiana Jones guy, whatever the heck his name was. It's escaping me, and I haven't seen that movie either, so whatever. But those are the three. Those are the three. And why would they turn season four of Mando into a film when Dave Filoni's already building this whole Filoni-verse, Mando-verse movie that it's all leading up to? It doesn't make sense. Unless it's a made-for-TV movie, and then you know it's going to be really bad, like those shark movies or whatever. So.
Ah, Sharknado.
Yeah. My wife loves
Shark
those.
Kane and they're all hideous, and I love them.
You're a fan, okay.
I am a fan of terrible cinema. In fact, I consider myself a connoisseur of terrible cinema.
So then you liked season three of The Mandalorian then?
Oh, yes, I did. I did very enjoy it. That was shady. That was really shady.
Oh, man. I feel good about that one. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with my feeling that it will be season four on Disney Plus, not a movie.
I agree.
Anything else on that?
No, just that I'm moody about it. That's it, really.
I know. And, you know, and you mentioned like how, and I'll include myself in it, you know, fans, us Star Wars fans, we're, like you said, we're jumping like on everything, grasping at straws, and it takes me to the Monty Python Quest for the Holy Grail movie when they're like, she's a witch, and they're like trying so hard to convince them that that lady was a witch, and
yes,
that's what sometimes Star Wars fandom feels like to me.
I am really guilty of it. I'm terrible. I really am.
Yeah.
But I'm still allowed to get annoyed about it.
Yeah. I mean, overall, we're all just excited and we want new stuff, but we do get a little carried away at times. Yeah. So there was was there something else aside from the Adam Driver thing, or was there?
Well, obviously, because the Rey movie's back kind of in people's forefronts, which means people are talking about the sequels again, which means either today or yesterday was the 8th birthday of The Force Awakens.
Right, today.
If anybody remembers that little old Star Wars film from like 2015. Oh my goodness, 2015. Stop.
Yeah, coming up on, so this was eight years since it's been out?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, oh man. Yeah, that's a long freaking time.
That's a whole child.
Right? That's great. Yeah, I did totally. My phone reminded me and then I forgot again. But that's just crazy that it's been that long already. The new Star Wars is... New Star Wars is already old Star Wars.
It is, which is really, really crazy to think about. We've also just had the 7th birthday for The Last Jedi, which was a couple of days ago, which means The Rise of Skywalker is coming up soon as well. And next year is the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah.
So The Phantom Menace is almost as old as you.
Yes. That's really... I don't like that. Take that back. Suck those words back in. No.
Come on, I'm like way older than you. How does that make me feel?
I refuse to acknowledge 2024 because that's the year I turn 30. It's not happening. I'm in my 20s forever now. That's it.
See, I turned 30 and then just stopped.
Ah.
I was like, yeah, no more. No more.
I'm either going to absolutely thrive or have a complete mental breakdown. There's no in between.
I had both of those before 30, so I don't know if that helps at all.
Great.
Yeah, and then there was Adam Driver talking about the Kylo Ren story or character arc, I guess you could say, that he was always supposed to be evil, where he was like the opposite of Darth Vader, where Darth Vader started out very powerful and dark and all of that, and by the end of the Return of the Jedi, he was a good guy again and saw the light, whereas Kylo Ren starts out like kind of weak and like a wannabe, and by the end of those three films he was supposed to be like big bad Darth Vader style, and of course that changed. Like everything seemed to change with those films. And I pulled the clip off of the internet if we want to listen to that.
I do. Any excuse to listen to Adam Driver's voice.
All right, let me get this out here. Oops, hang on. No, we
got but it. did you know that at least you're playing Vader 2.0? Like, at least did you know that as conceptually?
I did. Yeah. And I had an overall arc that in mind that he wanted to do, which, you know, then changed. But his idea was that almost the opposite journey of Vader, where Vader starts the most confident, the most, you know, committed to the dark side, and by, you know, the last movie, he's the most vulnerable and weak, and he wanted to start at the opposite, where this character was the most confused and vulnerable, and by the end of the three movies would be most committed to the dark side. So I tried to keep that arc in mind, regardless if that wound up not being the journey anyway, because it changed, obviously, as we were shooting.
Yeah, right.
Right, but I was still kind of focused on that.
When did it change?
Well, with Ryan, he took it into a different direction, but still it kind of still tracked with the character. Then the last one, it changed into being, you know, about them and the dyad and things like that.
And then again, so you
and kind of evolving into Ben Solo. That was never part of it.
That wasn't either.
No. Because, well, Ben Solo, he was Ben Solo from the beginning, but it was never a version where we actually see Ben Solo when I first signed up for it.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, this is the thing, though. Like, it's taken Adam Driver a long time to talk publicly about being in Star Wars. Like, obviously, he did a bunch of other projects, but because he doesn't really do interviews and he doesn't particularly do these kinds of scenarios very often, when he does actually sit down and talk about Star Wars, I want to hear everything he has to say.
Right.
It's really, really interesting. I didn't know that the Ben Solo was kind of that, or the concept of Ben Solo was very much an add-on idea towards the end of The Rise of Skywalker, not something they were kind of considering throughout.
Like him coming back to the light, yeah.
Yeah, and you can absolutely see Adam Driver kind of clinging to that Kylo Ren, getting darker and darker and more twisted. But obviously, The Rise of Skywalker allows for no space. Like, the end of The Rise of Skywalker is the redemption of Ben Solo, and I love it for what it is. Now I've heard this, I kind of want to know what the other version was going to be.
I've always wanted to know, because you know there's another version of it. It's like the Snyder thing. You know there's another version of at least The Rise of Skywalker floating around somewhere, and I want to know what.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there were too many people dipping their toes into the editing or whatever with this last movie that changed so many things. I found it really interesting when he said in the movie that I can't stand, you know, he's like, everything's still kind of tracked in The Last Jedi to lead that way. But then when, you know, The Rise of Skywalker rolled around, it all changed. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Because you could kind of see, and I don't remember, honestly, a lot of parts of that movie because I don't watch it.
Okay, edgelord.
But you could see him, but he still felt like a wannabe a little bit. Like they're shooting at Luke Skywalker, well, projection Luke, more. And it was like a little kid, like, yeah, beat him up, man, beat him up, you know? Like, he was still kind of like a child at that point, but a lot of the other parts, the conversations with him and Rey and everything, and then him kind of tricking her when she, you know, thought that he had turned to her side, but he's like, no, join me. I thought that was interesting. So, Ben Solo at the end of The Rise of Skywalker is one of my favorite parts. I really liked that addition, and I still wish we could see more. Like, it sucks that they killed him off. Spoiler alert.
But, yes.
It would have been great to do more stories with that character. But that said, a non-redeemed villain is something that Star Wars really leaping needs. Because aside from what, Palpatine? And maybe Dooku and Maul? Like, those are more side characters, though. Like, it's just, I'm bored of the redemption story, honestly. And I know there's a lot of people that I've talked to about that are like, no, I like that. But a villain just straight up bad and gets more and more bad as the story goes on, I think is really cool.
That's why I've got high hopes for The Acolyte. I think that will be the space where they get to do kind of evil and more evil.
Give me more evil, for sure.
Yeah, I want more evil.
Evil is fun.
Speaking of Evil and Adam Driver, if you guys listening have not had the chance to watch the new SNL sketches that Adam Driver did, go and watch them on YouTube because they are some of his finest performances.
I need to check it out.
Top tier comedy. He's very, very good.
Anything else you want to add to him talking about that, or?
I want to know. I want to get in their heads. I want to get inside Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley's heads and be like, what actually happened? Like, what were the discussions had in the writers' rooms? What was happening, like, during, like, the big script reads around the table? How did this happen like this? I need to know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Daisy Ridley, and I was saying before we started recording that, you know, she thought she was going to be a relative of Obi-Wan at one point. So
yep.
There's just so much... And yeah, a lot of these things happened when George was in charge of Star Wars. And I mean, the whole Luke and Leia brother and sister thing, everybody always goes back to that she wasn't his sister until really late in the story writing and all of that. But I don't know. I always just go back to the sequels were rushed. And a lot of the actors were, look at John Boyega. Boyega was pissed, rightfully so, you know. Finn was done dirty, and he's a really good actor, John Boyega, and he was kind of pushed into the background. So there's so many of these, like, dirty, like, Hollywood type of things going on in the background that I would love to know what all went down, like you were saying. And
also, as someone who's continuously, like, crapped on Rian Johnson and his approach towards The Last Jedi, it's interesting to hear that Adam Driver himself agrees with the fact that there was something going on. They were doing it in The Last Jedi. There was a plan. Because I'd also like to point out, Last Jedi Kylo Ren is the most, like, dark side Anakin, nearly Vader, we see out of the character. All of that rage, all of that passion, all of that kind of childlike aggression is there. And I really, really enjoyed that. And it could have been something. It really, really could have been something.
Yeah, I agree. He was very much like Anakin in that one. I know we can't go back in time or any of that, but I just wish that it would have had one writer for all three movies and then different directors. I think that would have been a huge, whether it was JJ writing it all or Ryan writing it all or their, you know, the other people that helped write them, whatever, just one person writing the story.
I think they smashed that formula out the best with Andor. Like, Tony Gilroy wrote it top to bottom, start to finish, every little adjustment and tiny detail, multiple different directors, which gave the heart. Like, I'm aware it's like a 9-episode show rather than a film, but I think it was very much treated like a film.
Yeah. It was 12 episodes, wasn't it?
Oh, 12 episodes. Yes, it was. Goodness, we really watched that much.
Like, 1 hour episodes.
12-hour episodes. That's a whole day. That is a day of Star Wars.
Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's how it should be. Even to an extent, The Mandalorian is mostly Jon Favreau writing it, with him going to Dave with ideas to make sure that they work. So again, aside from season 3 wasn't that bad. It was just a different turn. But you can see that these more like present, I was going to say future, but they're already in the past, I guess now. But these more present episodes, series and all of that, it seems like they've hopefully figured it out. But whatever. I'm not going to sit here and bash the sequels like I want to.
Oh, no. That's not my intention with this in the slightest, even if I do sound like I'm doing that a bit. Not really. Love you. Happy birthday, The Force Awakens.
I think everybody knows that you love the sequels. Everybody knows I don't.
Right. Yeah, balance.
Right. Balance and the Force. It's everywhere.
I have spoken.
But, you know, and I've said this a billion times, but I will say there are a lot of things I like about them. But there's a lot of things I do not as well. So
you are not a toxic sequel hater. That's the that's the key here. You're not a sequel hater at the detriment of the people around you. Right. You are not so narrow-minded that you cannot consider that other people might actually enjoy the films and then you're going to be a prick about it. You're not that.
Oh, yeah. I totally go out of my way on Twitter and yell at people for liking the sequel trilogy.
Oh yeah, 100%. I've seen you hate tweet people and tell them to KMS over liking The Last Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, love what you love. Who cares what anyone else thinks?
Exactly.
I will never understand people that get so upset when you don't like something they like.
And Star Wars is so big and so huge. Pick a lane.
Yeah.
Pick a lane and be happy.
For real.
You don't like the rest of it, don't pay attention to it.
So are we ready for our topic?
We are.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Like you said, I think it'll surprise some people. All right, so I'll just ask you, and you'll be able to go first. Charlie, is there a specific Star Wars movie that you relate to Christmas more than others, and why?
Mine is, again, this will surprise a few people if you've listened to the show for long enough. Mine's The Empire Strikes Back.
Whoa.
I know. Which, for context, for anyone who doesn't know, is my least favorite Star Wars film. So surprising that is the one I associate with Christmas, because when I was a kid and I watched The Phantom Menace and I started getting really, really into Star Wars, the BBC on Christmas, usually Christmas Day evening, sort of around like kind of 5-6 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. If it's not BBC One, it'll be BBC Two. We'll usually put on one of the original Star Wars films or two of them, and they probably won't be in the right order, but they'll be there. And it's always the time when you've opened your presents and you've had your dinner, and I've got my nice new Christmas pajamas on and my nice new fluffy socks on, and I've got a warm hot chocolate, and I sit down on the sofa and I watch The Empire Strikes Back, because that's what's on the telly. And there's something about that as like a memory that's so, so warm and cozy for me. And obviously, Empire Strikes Back has Hoth, which means there's snow. And as a kid, you make that connection as well.
Right.
It's technically a Christmas film because there's technically snow in it. But no, specifically The Empire Strikes Back, closely followed by Return of the Jedi, are my two big kind of Star Wars Christmassy films, because they were always, always without fail on one of the channels on one of the days of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Boxing Day.
That's really a good point, because I don't know if you have TNT over there, but they usually, almost like every weekend, they'll show Star Wars movies. But I think it's either them or TBS at Christmas time they'll show. And now, I mean, of course, they show like all of them. It's not just the OT stuff. But yeah, I remember it would be like A Christmas Story would be on, or Christmas Vacation, and then Star Wars.
Yes.
That's funny. Usually for me, I always would catch A New Hope at that time, would be the one that I would always catch on TV.
A New Hope evaded me for many years. I felt like I don't have memories of A New Hope until I'm much older. But you know what? I'm like, unconventional. Why not? Johnny, what Star Wars film reminds you most of the holiday season?
I think
this will,
well, you know, if people listen to us, the people listening that listen regularly, that's a hard word to say sometimes, will probably know this one, but I think especially after the conversation we just had, it might come as a surprise that The Force Awakens is the one that comes to mind for me. I've said it a billion times. It's more of like, I mean, it's the movie for sure, but it's more the experience of me and Jennifer going to see it in the theater. We were together, I think, 6 months at that point of our relationship. And now, obviously, we're getting close to 9 years. Jesus. Yeah. And so it's like our first Christmas as a couple, our first Star Wars movie together. Star Wars was back. Like, I mean, Jesus.
Yes.
It's the 18th. This is the anniversary of when that movie came out. The Force Awakens, Episode 7. Star Wars is back. It was just an exciting time. And yeah, the way I've been saying things about the sequel trilogy, I still think that this is, for me, my opinion, it's the best one out of the three. I love it.
I agree.
Nice.
It is my favorite of all three.
I mean, J.J. Abrams did a hell of a job capturing the Star Wars magic in that one. The other two movies,
100% agree.
Yeah. So yeah, it's The Force Awakens. And then if I want to just make a side note, and it's kind of funny because I was just watching it this morning. It's not a Star Wars movie, but I know. But The Fellowship of the Ring is another film I relate to Christmas. It's so, so good. And I love it.
Because now I'm thinking about Lord of the Rings and I'm going to cry. Yeah, watching The Two Towers on like a Christmas Eve afternoon. Usually it was on one of the other channels that wasn't the BBC, but it'd be split up in the TV guide into like four parts.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I know. I put the extended version on this morning, or well, last night before I went to bed.
How did that go for you?
I think I made it like an hour before I fell asleep. Well, I set the timer on the TV to turn off, and I'm like, there isn't even an hour amount that will hit the extended version's runtime. Right. I think, what is it? Like, is it 3 hours and 45 minutes or 4 hours? I can't remember now, but.
I think The Fellowship is about 3.5 hours. Two Towers is pushing four, and then Return of the King is a good like 4.5, nearly 5 hours in extended form.
Yeah.
But do I watch every second of it? Yes, I do.
Do you do it all at once, though?
Never been able to do it all at once. Can do it over a couple of days, but not all in one sitting. That is too much.
Same, yeah. I can't. If a movie, and that's the thing is I've noticed, and now I'm going way off, but movies, it seems like everybody wants to make longer movies now. And for me, I'm like, no, I don't want to sit that long. Give me the old school. Yeah, right. Oh my God, I know. Especially in a movie theater, you know, you sit like this, and you're like, oh my God, there's still 2 hours left of the movie.
I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna miss something important.
And then you're like, I almost swore. Screw it. And you run as fast as you can, and you come back, and you know you missed something, and you don't want to ask, you know, the person you're with because you want to see what's happening on the screen now.
It really is cursed.
It is. It just seems like everyone wants to make these longer movies, and I personally am a big fan of, you know, the 90-minute film, I think, is a perfect amount of time. Anything then more?
Where would directors like Zack Snyder put all of their explosions in?
Oh, I thought you meant Michael Bay when you said explosions.
Oh no, both. To be honest, actually, yeah, Michael Bay as well. Although, would I sit through 4.5 hour extended version of The Force Awakens? Yes, I would.
Oh man, I don't. Isn't there a rumor that there's a like 4 hour version of Revenge of the Sith? I feel like I've heard
there
about
is,
that.
Yes, there is. There is a. I don't know if it's. I feel like it's a bit of an urban legend at this point that there is, in fact, somewhere in the Skywalker archives, a full, nearly. I think it's nearly 5 hour cut of Revenge of the Sith.
I mean, in all honesty, because
George simply couldn't contain himself.
Right? He was just like, "I'm going. Let's do this." But yeah, I mean, any Star Wars film, I would sit through it. I would have to.
Yeah.
Right on. Do you have like, is there any like, well, you did say your runner up would have been Return of the Jedi. Is there anything non, yes, like I threw in a non Star Wars Christmas time movie?
I am an absolutely humongous fan of Love Actually. But it has to be watched at a very, 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 very specific time. I cannot watch it early in December. It has to be done on like the 21st or the 22nd. It has to be nearly, it has to be so Christmassy it hurts.
Really?
And then you get the real emotional toll of the film. I have to cry. It has to be painful to watch it for it to be a true Christmas experience.
Dang, that's interesting. It's got to be the perfect time.
It has. I'm really, really specific about timings for certain Christmas films. Like Nick has this thing where he will watch Oliver on Christmas Day. When I am downstairs, like sorting out dinner, he sits and watches Oliver. The old black and white musical one.
Wow. I guess I sort of have a thing where I won't watch the Lampoon's Christmas Vacation until I sit down to wrap presents.
Oh, is that one of your wrapping present?
Yeah, but then after that, Elf, I watch it. Watch it repeatedly. Is Elf good? I still have not watched it.
Yeah, mine's Elf. No one will watch it with me because it's the worst. It's the cringiest, most awkwardly uncomfortable. I don't like Will Ferrell that much, to be honest, but I love Elf.
I've never seen it. And it's funny because I used to like Will Ferrell. Like, I like a lot of his movies, but I don't know. It never called to me, but I think I'm going to watch it this year.
Do it.
This year.
It's a good one. It's, like... it's a good cozy, easy watch. It's a good present wrapping one. Highly recommend.
Mm. Oh my God. 7 days from now is Christmas.
Stop it.
All right. Before we do our Danny DeVito thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a Star Wars Christmas gift that stands out above the others?
That I've received?
Yeah, that you've received. Sorry. I just kind of stopped talking.
I've got a lot of Star Wars merchandise that has been lovingly, lovingly purchased for me. So actually sitting through and thinking about it, I would probably say I have a copy of the first ever Star Wars comic, the first ever Marvel Star Wars comic. Mm. And it is in near pristine condition.
Really?
It's my pride and joy. And I also, yes, we do. We have, I have that. And I also have some film cells from A New Hope.
Like real ones?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That's really cool. Very cool.
Those are probably like my specialist.
I always go back to my big one. It was like the late 90s, and my brother got me this gigantic box of Power of the Force 3¾-inch action figures. That was like what started me collecting. Yeah, that son of a making me spend all this money now.
I was going to say, that's what got you into 3¾, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, that one always just kind of sticks out because it was, I was a teenager, you know. But I was opening up this huge box and seeing the buff Luke Skywalker because, you know, they made all those figures buff at that time whatever reason. But they're awesome. They're awesome figures. But it was just so, it like took me back to being a little kid opening that. So it's just, it always stands out. And then I would say probably another one would be the, I've showed you the Mandalorian Amban Pulse rifle that Jennifer bought me for Christmas a couple of years ago. It was the same Christmas I proposed to her, so Christmas Eve. So kind of has those two things. I'm a softie.
You are. That's so sweet. I think my Star Wars comic was one of the first like big Star Wars presents Nick got me. Mm. So don't worry. All of mine have really soft, like soppy emotional attachments as well. They're all like, my boyfriend got it for me and I love him.
But those are like the best ones, you know, and when someone you care about's like, look what I got here, you know. And so with all that said, I think, as usual, I always ask everybody, sometimes people actually participate. Let us know.
Sometimes.
Let us know what Christmas movie you relate to Christmas more than others. And if there's any Christmas gifts that are like super special to you.
I'm going to just gently correct you there because you said, which Christmas movie do you associate with Christmas movies? It's which Star Wars movie do you associate with the Christmas season? There we go.
Yes. Thank you.
Got Christmas on the brain.
It is. I mean, it's so close. So much to do.
I have not put my Christmas tree up yet.
What?
In my defense, my ankle.
Oh.
That's my excuse.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty good excuse, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so. Please ask me who Danny DeVito would play in Star Wars because I have been chomping over this answer for weeks now. I was so proud of myself when I came up with it.
Awesome. All right, let's do it. Charlie, you have to cast Danny DeVito in Star Wars. You're in charge.
Okay, you're in charge. You have to cast him.
What's his role?
I don't know. How familiar you are with the incredibly funny sitcom It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
A little. I haven't watched a ton of it. You're a little.
You should watch more of it. There is specifically an episode called The Night Man Cometh, which is a sensational episode. It's a musical episode. And Danny DeVito plays obviously he plays Frank, who in this episode of the show plays a character who is a goblin with big ears and a big nose. Now, following on from this, I think that in the new film, Rey needs to go back to Canto Bight. I don't know what reason. Some reason. Danny DeVito is cast as the owner of the casino. I'm talking loud, I'm talking obnoxious, I'm talking decadent, dripping in jewels and robes and velvet and servants and coins and ridiculous. I want to see big, over the top, because like, I know if you've seen when he played the Penguin in the Batman film, like, I want to see this big, over the top, because that's what he's so, so good at. He has such a presence and an energy, especially for somebody who is smaller than my dad is. I think he must only be about 4'5". He's a tiny, tiny man.
Oh, yeah.
That it needs to be. The character needs to be big and loud and mean. Greedy. Yes. There we go.
Oh, yeah. That. That's a total trait a lot of his characters have. That's amazing. So you actually, like, found a spot in a movie. I didn't go that far. Damn. I didn't even think to, like, take it that far. I was just like, oh, character. You know? I love it, though. That's fun. That's very Danny DeVito-ish. I dig it. Yeah, I need to watch that show. So many people I know love it. And I remember I started watching it, and I thought it was decent, but I always lose track of stuff that, like, other people tell me to watch, so.
Oh, it's fine. I do that all the time.
Now, would he have, like, the big nose?
Maybe.
Or, like, the penguin Maybe. Nose? Like, the
hook. Oh, God, no. It's hideous. No. No, scrap the nose. It, no, wait, not. It, that was it. It was nose. Horns. I want horns. I want, like,
oh,
big.
Oh, right. Okay. He was so creepy in Batman. I rewatched that one a couple of years ago, and I'm like, wow, I don't remember it being this messed up. But he was like, I mean, he did a great job, obviously, but it was just more of a dark, like, weird movie than I remembered it being. I love Danny DeVito. That's the
Tim Burton one, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they had Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of them as Mr. Freeze, and it was just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. Batman's sort of got to be like that, though, isn't it? Like, he's a little bit silly and a little bit larger than life. So go mad.
Yeah, that's true.
Who would you, Kat, who, what role would you have Danny DeVito fill in the wonderful, wonderful world of Star Wars? Tell me.
I don't think it's going to be as good as yours. I'm being honest. I was all proud of it, and then I heard yours, and I'm like, oh, that's really good. You put don't way more. That. What? You did. You
don't compare yourself like that.
Fine. All right. So when I think of Danny DeVito, I always go back to the movie Twins.
Yes.
It's. I know some people say it's a terrible. It's not really a good movie, but it's fun. I always have fun watching it. I laugh. I haven't watched it in years, though. But I think that one of the other things with Danny DeVito is comedy. He's hilarious.
Yes.
So, and then I started thinking about, I don't know how much of Friends you watched, but he was on an episode of Friends, and he was a male dancer for, I think it was Phoebe's bachelorette party.
Yes.
He was freaking hilarious. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take those two characters that he played. I think his name was Vincent in the Twins movie. And I want him to combine the character traits of those characters, but he has to take that and play an Imperial Admiral, and he has to have a British accent, because yes. I think Danny DeVito with a British accent would be freaking hilarious. So he has to do that, but he has to try to play a serious role as this, like, cutthroat admiral, but he doesn't want to be a cutthroat admiral. He's just being forced to play that type of character. So I kind of see him, like, bribing other officers and having dance-offs on the bridge. And mm-hmm. just, it would be the perfect, if Taika Waititi's listening, this would be a perfect Taika Waititi film. Danny DeVito as an Imperial admiral.
No, that is way better than mine is. Oh my goodness. 10 out of 10.
Well, thank you.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat. I kind of feel like the reason Danny DeVito has not been cast in Star Wars yet is they are just waiting for the right part. It has not yet been written.
I do think with as goofy as Taika Waititi is, he would be the perfect person to be like, hey, Danny, you want to play this character? Do it. Make it happen.
Oh, my goodness. Please. Please, but, I petition you, Star Wars, please. All I want for that. Christmas is Danny DeVito in Star Wars.
I mean, so many other people have been in it. So, I mean, we had Cliff Clavin from Cheers in The Empire Strikes Back, so.
John Wayne is in A New Hope.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I do all the time, and then suddenly it pops up in my head, and it's like I've remembered it for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, see, everybody's been in it. So, Woody Harrelson, he was in Star Wars. So
he was.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people. I liked this. We need to find more.
But we need to find more obscure and strange celebrities.
For real. I enjoyed it. Hopefully everybody else did.
But we would love to hear your suggestions. Do come and pester us on whichever social media is your preference and tell us who you would make Danny DeVito's character in Star Wars, because I bet there are going to be some wacky ideas.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I know you're all weirdos.
More ping pong! Run for it! Let's go!
Shoot, anything else? I think
actually genuinely think that was everything on my little list. I don't know about your deeply extensive pages and pages and pages of notes.
No, I think that's all. So I think just one last thing. Everybody that celebrates Christmas, have a Merry Christmas. If you don't, enjoy the holiday season and hope it's happy and healthy for everybody. We'll be back in, what, a couple of weeks?
We shall be back in a couple of weeks. Thank you, everyone who's listened, for making 2023 pretty freaking cool, because I got to do this the whole time. Wow!
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was your full year as a Clone Army Radio member.
Yeah, it's been my first full year. Oh.
Wow.
And what a genuinely lovely year it has been. Thank you. Thank you, listening. Thank you, Johnny, for continuing to drag me on here. But no, as Johnny said, if you celebrate Christmas, have a wonderful Christmas. Irrespective of that, have a fantastic, fantastic holiday season. Be warm and so safe and cozy and happy and healthy and all of that good stuff. And enjoy your new year and start of 2024. I will be back, hopefully, with some new Star Wars to talk about.
That'd be cool.
We'll see.
I'm surprised nothing popped up yet, honestly. Something probably has. We're just missing it because we're recording.
Blake.
Oh, that does remind me. The other thing that I forgot to mention was apparently somewhere out of nowhere, season 3 of The Mandalorian Gallery is up on Disney+. So I didn't know. I don't recall seeing an announcement, but I was on Disney+ last night and I saw it pop up.
I don't think I knew either, so shows how much attention I pay, doesn't it?
Maybe it's brand new and you're hearing it first on Clone Army Radio. And we got this one. I already saw it. It's on there, so nobody can come and yell at us. Charlie, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and us?
Me and us. So you can come and find the show directly at Clone Army Radio on Instagram, X, Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know what our social media platforms are. We are Clone Army Radio on basically everything. And if you specifically want to come and pester me, wish me a Merry Christmas, all of that good stuff, you can come and find me at Running Back to Jakku on Instagram.
And that's going to be a wrap, right?
It is, I think. Goodbye, right. 2023.
Yeah, 2023. We got two words for you.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, my friend. Goodbye.
Man. All right. We'll catch you all in a few weeks. May the Schwartz be with you.
Schwartz be with you. Bye.
You'll shoot your eye out,
Admiral Viet.
Ho, ho, ho.